In April, just days before Tucker Carlson was let go by Fox News, he gave an incredible speech for Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C. He noted, quote, "There's something about the American spirit, represented best by our flag, that ought to, tonight and every night, instill in us a hopefulness about the future," end quote. Well, there's a new book about Tucker Carlson, and TuckerTheBook.com writes about this, quote, "Tens of millions know Tucker Carlson as the most influential and most disruptive voice in American media. But who is Tucker Carlson off camera? What created and now motivates the man who revolutionized conservatism and became the scourge of the establishment left and right?" Author Chadwick Moore was granted unprecedented access to Tucker Carlson through hundreds of hours of interviews, documents, photographs, and more. His conversations with Tucker, his family, colleagues, acquaintances, and enemies produced this inside look into one of the most beloved and polarizing media figures, end quote. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Chadwick Moore, the author of this new book about Tucker Carlson, joins us. And it's great to have you on the line, Chadwick. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Jerry. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. How about just as a quick starting point? I think Tucker Carlson even ruffled some feathers in that Heritage Foundation speech. If I'm not mistaken, he actually said something like, you know what? More Americans need to pray for America.
He did. And he, you know, this was something that I kind of chronicle in the book is, you know, one of his biggest evolutions, I think, and it's really become more evident in the last couple of years, right? Recently is the shift in his thinking of seeing politics in this country as, and in his words, a battle between good and evil. And that sort of language really makes people, the higher ups at Fox, very uncomfortable. There was a lot of speculation that maybe this sort of shift towards speaking more on terms of morality and spirituality may have had something to do with his show being taken off the air. We sort of go through all that in the book. But, you know, it's definitely been – he's something that people don't, I think, understand about Carlson, and something that, you know, I think is what came through in the book. I mean, he was certainly the person that I – found, and the person that I wrote about, is that he's less concerned with politics per se. He's far more interested in the bigger questions of family, of spirituality, of morality, of beauty, and he sees all those as related to politics directly. But those are the sort of the issues that he's, you know, that he really thinks about most.
How old is Tucker Carlson?
He's 54, just turned.
Okay, and how many children does he have? How long has he been married? Where is he from? Just give us some biographical information, maybe some things most of us don't know about. I do know one thing, and it was only because he said it somewhere in one of the interviews. He was baptized in Grace Cathedral, which is in San Francisco, right? And that's the very place where William Randolph Hearst had his funeral. So isn't that funny? That's an interesting
right.
Irony.
Yeah, and he was born in the same hospital in San Francisco as Jerry Garcia, who's one of his favorite musical heroes. He has four children. They're all in their 20s now. He has his wonderful wife, Susie, who I got to know well while working on this book. They met when they were in high school, 15 years old is when they met. They've been together ever since. And he was sort of raised Episcopalian, although he's the first to criticize the direction that the Episcopalian church has taken, especially on many political issues. And, you know, he had a really, really fascinating childhood. I mean, this is, a lot of people are saying this is their favorite part of the book. You know, a lot of people don't realize that his mother was a California heiress from one of the most wealthy families in San Francisco. His father, Dick, was an orphan. His father's still alive. I got to know Dick pretty well. Orphan, and then he was adopted into a middle-class family in Massachusetts. He met Tucker's mom, Lisa. They got married, had their two sons, Tucker and Buckley. Lisa, his mother, abandoned her family and abandoned Tucker when he was 6 years old. She decided that she wanted to be a kind of bohemian art world groupie. She got into drugs and alcohol, and Tucker never saw her again since he was six. She died in 2011. And I got to meet some people who knew her during and got to learn more about her. And also, you know, talk to Tucker and his wife and his dad about how that may have affected Tucker. And also, you know, Dick Tucker's father continues to be Tucker will say, his greatest mentor and inspiration. And he had a certainly unique style of parenting, which provides some entertaining stories in the book. But that's sort of where he comes from in his background. Dick was also a journalist, he was on TV in Los Angeles and San Diego, and then later on moved to Washington, D.C. and worked for the Reagan administration.
Is the brother named Buckley, is there any link between that and WFB Jr.? In other words, William F. Buckley Jr.?
Oh, there wasn't, but I thought the same thing at first. But no, there wasn't.
Oh, okay. I was just curious. Okay, tell us about the genesis of the book. How did you get involved in this?
Sure. So I was a regular guest on Tucker's show from basically the entire run of the show. And weirdly enough, I was on the last episode of the show, which was April 21st, which, of course, none of us knew would be the last episode. So that's sort of how I knew him and was kind of in his orbit. But I hadn't spent much time with him. But, you know, I knew that there was something more to this guy. I don't think there's a lot of people on cable news who you'd want to read a biography of. But Tucker
was
always someone.
That's true.
You know?
You're right.
But a lot of people know there's more to Tucker, and that he's a really interesting guy and a really genuine person, fascinating guy, really smart guy, really funny guy. And, you know, my publisher contacted me. We've been working on this book for over a year now, about a year and a half. And, So they want to do a book about Tucker Carlson. They wanted me to write it. I was, you know, very honored and flattered. Wasn't sure if Tucker would be into it, so I called him up, and he was all for it. Although he says, you know, he as a rule, he never reads anything about himself. I think it's one of the things that keeps him sane, because you imagine all the chat. Of course, all the chatter there is about him out there. He said, "I probably won't read it, but that's nothing against you, because I think you're a terrific writer." But I just don't read anything about myself. And I said, "That's fine." He totally welcomed me into his life and his world, and trusted me to do this. He's never asked to see a word of it. Never, you know, wondered what was going to be in it. He just totally opened the doors to me and insisted I stay in his home and get to know him really well. And that's what I did.
But when was that done? Since his being let go? Since he was fired?
No, so we started last spring, spring 2022. And so over the last year, he lives in both Maine and Florida. So I was spending time with him in both those places, you know, and in between, you know, doing all the other research. We were basically done with the book. I submitted my manuscript at the end of March, and it was going through the editorial process. And then, of course, this happened. So we pushed back the publication. I interviewed Tucker a couple more times since the show was taken off the air. We added some new chapters and updated it to make it relevant.
Oh, that's fascinating. What would you say is the most important thing Tucker Carlson wants the world to know about him, about Tucker Carlson?
Well, I don't think he would say nothing. You know, he thinks he's not very interesting. I think that, you know, a lot of people sort of speculate, would he run for office? There's all these rumors out there, Tucker for president. I think that the way he would, the kind of person he is, you know, I could never see that happening. I think that would be the furthest thing. I think that what you take away is that he doesn't have that gene that a lot of politicians do, where they think they deserve to lead. You know, he's very much a professional observer, which is how he describes himself. He simply sees things, he connects dots, and he tells stories. He came from the world of print. He's a print guy, and he's very literary, despite being dyslexic and as he would call it, put in the dumb kids class at school. I think he's really happy with his station in life, being a storyteller. And he kind of fell into television. He didn't pursue it. He kind of stumbled into television. But before that, he was a print guy. He goes to great lengths to be humble. If you've been around a lot of TV people, you know, sometimes they can get a big head and kind of be jerks. And he sort of was very well prepared for what happened to him at Fox. He had a lot of mentors along the way to basically say, every job in television is a temporary job, and don't get a big head about it. Don't start believing all the hype about yourself, because it can all end tomorrow. And I really saw the lengths he went to be humble and to remind himself of that.
Why did they let him go? I mean, he had the highest rated show. I mean, isn't it all about ratings and so forth? And he's very authentic. I mean, I like watching Tucker Carlson. I mean, not only because of the, you know, the analysis and the insights, but there's something timeless about his perspective, as opposed to, oh, you know, he's just focused on what's, you know, faddish now.
Yeah, he has that kind of once in a generation connection with people in the way that Rush Limbaugh very much did. You know, people that I think genuine is you're really nailing it. That's what I think separates him is, you know, there's so much artifice in television. There's so many bells and whistles. There's so many, you know, nipped and tucked people who are reading scripts, and it's such a production, all the things flashing around on the screen. And Tucker was, people felt a real connection with him. If he made a mistake, he'd be completely upfront about it. I'm sorry, I got that wrong. And he was someone who's just asking questions that no one else would ask. Fox got rid of him. It's, you can't deny it at this point that it was completely ideological. And you know, we go through many theories about exactly why and exactly who pushed for it. Fox, of course, is not given any reason. Tucker is still an employee of Fox News. He's still getting a paycheck every week. He's still under contract, but he's not on TV. So his contract expires after the next presidential election. So whoever it is at Fox or whatever entity has a controlling interest at News Corp that wanted him off the air and wanted to influence the next presidential election by silencing him, they're paying a lot of money for him to not have a show and for him not be on air. You know, and since the thing with Fox is you also have to realize is that they have this idea about themselves. And I'm speaking of the management, the executives, the rank and file and the average people there. I've dealt with many of them. They're all great people. But the management has this idea of itself that it's the brand that matters. They really don't like their audience. You know, they think that they're stupid and that they'll just watch anything that's on at 8 o'clock because they're Fox News. So they believe that. The personalities don't matter. They've lost big names before and been fine in their eyes. Bill O'Reilly, Megyn Kelly, Glenn Beck. You go through dozens of people. So they figured that, you know, Tucker was no different. They can just get rid of him if they don't like his ideology, and they'll bounce back. But it doesn't really look like they are. He was not only sort of propping up the entire primetime lineup, but I mean, I would even argue is sort of artificially propping up the relevance and of cable news, the entire industry. And there are millions of people who are tuning into Tucker Carlson who would not normally be on cable news, and they haven't returned.
How is his little Twitter thing going?
Well, it's going well. I mean, they're getting all these views. He's sporadically dropping these long form interviews, but he's, from what I understand, I haven't seen his contract, but Fox News failed to include Twitter in their non-compete, which is why he's able to be there. There may be some limits on how much FaceTime he can have on there per week, which is why the shows are sporadically kind of popping up. But, you know, they're fundraising to start their own media company. Basically, everyone who worked on Tucker's shows at Fox News is now gone from Fox. They're either fired or they left, and they've all rejoined Tucker. So they're raising money to start their own media company. Tucker's executive producer, Justin Wells, tells me that, you know, when that happens, people are going to see a lot more Tucker than they ever did on Fox. But again, they're constrained right now by this contract, which Tucker and his lawyers are trying to get out of. But, I'm not sure exactly where they are in that process.
Okay. Your website is tuckerthebook.com. Let me give you the last minute. Just tell me anything about Tucker that we don't know and about the book. Okay.
Sure. You know, he's, oh man, that's, I guess, in a soundbite, he doesn't wear socks or deodorant, has never eaten a vegetable since high school, and, loves trees a lot. And that's a fun thing that we put into the book.
Was it fun to write the book?
Oh, it was. It was great fun. It was great spending a lot of time with him. He's so entertaining that you just want to put everything he says down. And we tried, you know, he just goes on rants and can talk about anything. That's really always entertaining and wonderful. I got Tucker to speak extensively to me about what he honestly felt about Donald Trump, where he thinks he succeeds, where he thinks he fails, and try to put every word of that into the book. So I think that's something that people are going to find interesting as well.
All right, we're out of time. Thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Thanks. Bye-bye.